This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for today's Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. A patchy fog or drizzle that should burn off a little later, give us some sunshine, a high today of 47. Right now, we've got temperatures in the mid-40s.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Let's see how we're doing on Wall Street at the start of another week. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, once again, we are pushing into uncharted territory. The Dow is up 163 points now, 24,815. No less than five times have the blue chips pushed 1,000 points higher this year. In fact, at this time last year, we were at 19K. The NASDAQ, for the first time ever, touched 7,000, up right now 62 points to 69.98, and the S&P higher by 17. The S&P is very close to 2,700. At any rate, we've got records here across the board. Banks are seen benefiting the most from the compromise tax bill that's coming up for House and Senate votes this week. Those stocks are among the ones doing the most for the main averages. Really, though, this is pretty broad-based. A number of companies from a wide range of industries are seen as benefiting if the corporate tax rate does drop from 35% to 21%. One piece of economic data today, home builder confidence is at the highest in at least 18 years. From the National Association of Home Builders, their measure of current home sales at an 18-year high. Buyer traffic through model homes, also the highest in almost two decades. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're kicking off the upcoming vote on the Republican tax plan is raising confidence in various parts of the economy. And as you just mentioned, the home builders as well.
We'll talk about the Atlanta power outage at the airport, what kind of an impact it's having, and how to make sure it doesn't happen again. Also, Hershey and Campbell Soup looking at some significant acquisitions. Also, Stock Picker Monday, we'll have an investing pro join us to give you some advice on your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We're taking a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, including the record markets and tax reform. Joining us now is Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. There's a lot on the plate this week, Tom.
Boy, there is, Chris. I feel like with the Christmas on a Monday and New Year's on a Monday, like we're getting cheated out of a holiday week this week. This normally should feel like a holiday week, right?
I'm with you, right.
Roll up. Yeah, but it not happening at all. I mean, lots of merger and acquisition activity hitting the tape today. But of course, really all eyes are on the Senate and the House of Representatives on the fate of the compromise tax legislation. That has helped fuel the stock market and the S&P 500 up to these record highs we're seeing over the last several sessions. But I think what's important here, Chris and Cisco, for investors, long-term investors especially, is to understand that while the stock market and the U.S. economy are certainly interwoven and related to one another, the stock market is not the economy. The economy is not the stock market. So while there's a lot of investment excitement about lower corporate tax rates and lower individual tax rates, what happens with that tax savings in the real economy, it's going to take a few years to find out what the macroeconomic impact of that is going to be.
So don't be misled then by watching the markets go up and down and stay with what you know about where your investments are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly right. You know, still invest in good fundamental companies for good fundamental reasons. Know your risk tolerance. Making an investment decision based solely on a tax rate, I think a lot of financial advisors would probably guide against that kind of investment strategy.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up, we'll see in the long run what kind of an impact the savings actually have, because I'm wondering, I guess there's always a chance that this doesn't go into R&D or other expansion, but any sort of corporate savings, it's dividends, it's stock buybacks, that sort of thing.
Yeah, listen, which, you know, as a shareholder, you probably love, right? You like to see a company reinvesting in itself or giving that capital back to shareholders in the form of a dividend or reinvesting in itself in terms of buying back its stock. That's why, you know, it's a market of stocks. The stock market is not the economy. Is this tax bill going to help American worker productivity? Is it directly tied to rising wages and addressing some of the income disparities that a lot of our communities are experiencing and housing affordability issues and transportation issues? Those are much bigger conversations to have than even a very lengthy tax legislation debate that is happening now in Washington.
Home builder confidence, highest level in 18 years. What's behind it? What kind of an impact could it have?
Yeah, I think here it is supply and demand. And it's interesting, it's coming at a time when this tax legislation is going to cap the mortgage interest deductibility, right? You've got certainly positive headline employment numbers. A lot of Americans are working. Now, they may not be making the kind of salaries that they'd like to make, but a lot of Americans are working. Household formation remains pretty positive. The millennial generation, the largest generation after the baby boomers, is entering into that home buying phase. And supply, especially in the sweet spot of the market. I know in urban areas like Miami, I know urban areas in Chicago, that sweet spot of the market, that kind of, you know, $200,000 to $400,000 or $500,000 home, supply there can be still very constrained.
We're arming ourselves with, you know, this, what, since 2000, the economy has done so well and jobs have done so well, but 2000 can come again.
Certainly it can. Yeah. There is an old saying that, you know, a stock market is not going to cause an economic recession. It's going to be something fundamental in the financial industry or something fundamental in the finances of the United States to cause that. Now, the 2000 recession, of course, was pretty mild compared to what we went through 10 years ago. And those wounds, I think, for a lot of investors and even home buyers, are still pretty fresh, even though we're a decade on.
Tom Hudson, Week Ahead columnist for McClatchy Tribune News Services. Thanks for joining us, Tom. Later on this hour, 12:49, our Monday stock picker will join us to give you some advice. Next, we'll take a look at how housing stacks up going into the new year.
Making sense of your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We just heard about home builders, their sentiment's highest in 18 years. What kind of an impact will it have on home buyers? Let's talk about it with Guy Sakala, publisher of Inside Mortgage Finance, based in Bethesda, Maryland. Guy, let's begin with the builders. So why are they so confident? What kind of an impact might it have that they're feeling better?
I think they're very optimistic about the economy. We've got a strong economy going into 2018, and that bodes well for wage growth and home sales in general. We're still facing a shortage of existing housing, so that leaves the door open for increased home building, and I think that's why they're bullish going into the year.
So is this going to, whether it's home builders building more or the general real estate picture, even for existing homes, does it look like it's going to be a good year for home buyers in 2018?
It'll be a better year for home buyers. You know, frankly, home buyers have been restricted by the fact that there's a limited inventory in a lot of neighborhoods and markets that they're looking for a home, and that tends to push prices up. With any increased supply of homes, new or existing, that should give them some relief on the prices and give them more options and choices.
What about some of the breaks that we're accustomed to getting on our taxes when we buy a house or have a mortgage, where that could be a struggle?
Yeah, that's you know, the big unknown going in 2018. In the tax reform bill, there are some changes that don't seem to be pro-housing, but it's hard to gauge the impact of them. Frankly, a lot of the things like the mortgage interest deduction, the ability to deduct property tax, all those are psychological as much as financial. So we just really don't know the impact. At the end of the day, I think if somebody wants to buy a primary residence to live in, they're still going to buy it despite the change in the tax law.
This change, could it, is it going to be adopted with the rest of the bill? I mean, this is going to be the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I think those are pretty solid and locked in now. We know the mortgage interest deduction is dropping from $1 million to $750,000, and that's only on new homes. Existing homes are going to be grandfathered in, and there are going to be limits on a $10,000 limit on state and local taxes, including property taxes, that you're going to be able to deduct. The trade-off is there's going to be a higher standard deduction that most people can take. For a married couple, it's going to be up to $24,000, which is probably, on an average home, going to negate any loss of the mortgage interest deduction or anything else that they may be facing.
Guy Sekulla, publisher, Inside Mortgage Finance. Coming up, the latest numbers from Wall Street.
WDBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets right now with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, we've come back from the highs of the day, but the Dow is still up 132 points. NASDAQ adding 61, S&P up 16. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 1%. And crude oil futures have reversed course. They were higher earlier, now down 0.2% and trading under $57 a barrel. For a look at the grains, we check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have mixed grains. Corn has been up a little, down a little, up one to down one. At the moment, March corn down a quarter at 347 and a quarter. December up a half at 380 and a half. Beans have been down 10 to up 3. We're presently down 8 in Jan. November's are down 8 at 979 and 3 quarters. And wheat's been up 1 to up 5. We're presently up 2 and a half at 420 and 3 quarters. Mixed prices on grains. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti with Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks surge higher today. We'll check the markets.
Hershey and Campbell Soup branch out.
Stock Picker Monday will share some investment ideas.
There are multiple fatalities following an Amtrak derailment in Washington State. More coming up from CBS News.
A Chicago daycare worker arrested for allegedly burning children with a glue gun.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrial is up 148 points, the NASDAQ up 62, and the S&P 500 gaining 17.
Still some clouds in Chicagoland. AccuWeather says later this afternoon we will see some sunshine as all the drizzle gets out of town. 42 degrees at O'Hare right now, 43 Midway, 42 along the lakefront, heading to a high of 47.
CBS News special report. An Amtrak train on a new high-speed route derailed this morning between Tacoma and Olympia, Washington. Some cars fell from an overpass onto Interstate 5. Greg Mukai was driving to work.
We came to a stop. We looked up to see why we had to do that. And all you saw was smoke. And there's a, you know, the passenger train hanging from the overpass and on the freeway. So very scary stuff.
Chris Carnes was aboard that Amtrak train.
There were multiple people injured.
More than 70 people have been taken to hospitals.
There's military police, firefighters, medical aid of all sorts that are on the scene right now.
Ed Troyer is with the Pierce County Sheriff's Department.
At this point, we're just told there's multiple fatalities. What that means, I don't know. I've heard a lot of different numbers, so we're not confirming anything.
CBS Transportation Safety Analyst Mark Rosenker, as for a cause.
Everything will remain on the table, whether it's a track issue, whether it's a human failure issue, whether it's a signal issue.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett.
WBBM News Time, 12:32. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by American Weathermakers.
Well, power's been restored to the world's busiest airport in Atlanta, but travel's still complicated with Delta canceling at least 300 flights today. We're going to talk about travel to and from Chicago, how it has been affected. Joe Sweeterman joins us, professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago, and certainly an expert on transportation. Joe, let's first take up this other story, the high-speed train. At least six are said to be dead from that. What can you say about this tryout of the high-speed rails?
Yeah, it really is a terrible thing. We had new improvements to a corridor. The state of Washington, Oregon are really putting money into it. It's really like our Chicago-Milwaukee corridor, kind of a showpiece of the Amtrak system, using lightweight trains. And the day they roll out a new service, we had this terrible accident.
Let's talk about Atlanta. You essentially have an entire airport shut down and in the dark. Significant delays and cancellations all around the country. Is there any way to prevent something like this from happening again, where it's just essentially an entire airport shut down?
You know, what a story this is. And I say it for the airlines, it's sort of a death by a thousand cuts, that we have one crisis, whether it's a TSA crisis or a computer glitch, and now there's a whole new category called electric outage. And the odd thing is, the airport was pretty confident they had redundant power systems. And, so if the outage does occur, it would just be an hour or two. This drug on 11 hours, which really caused, pain for travelers, lots of families. And I think it raised the question, if a redundant power system, should one fire be able to take both out? So I think there's going to be some real calls for accountability, how you could build redundancy with everything focusing on one point.
Well, that's what is sort of, I don't want to say it's comical because it's not comical, but if it's redundant, exactly what you're saying, one thing should not be able to shut it down. That's sort of the definition of redundancy.
In today's power grid, that's all the contingency planning is about. Could a terrorist, could an accident bring the system down? So the idea is to have flexibility, to have, multiple conduits into the airport. And we're still waiting to see how that happened, whether there was some sort of a surge that caused something that wasn't expected. But the long and short of it was that this was off the airport property where the fire occurred, which makes it even more perplexing that, the one fire could cause 11 hours to delay, and, that's going to ripple through the system all week now.
We're going to have a big travel week, going into Christmas. So do you think the airlines are checking all systems for go?
Well, after yesterday, it's certainly the traveling public is nervous. But I tell you, I've been watching airline travel a long time, and fuel prices have inched up a little bit in the last couple of weeks. But overall, the stars have aligned for just a banner period for the airlines. The weather's supposed to be good. The bookings are quite good. TSA lines have been trending pretty short, 6 minutes in a lot of cases. So the airlines are pretty bullish right now. It's just a shame we had that inauspicious start yesterday.
Joe Schwederman, Professor of Public Services, Director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul, joining us.
Well, let's talk for a few minutes about what's moving Wall Street today, and it certainly is moving higher. Michael Palumbo is founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. What's moving the market, Michael?
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Cisco. It looks like just year-end holiday rally mode right now. Not a lot of news. Other than the tax situation in Washington looking a little bit bullish for stocks. But overall, it just seems like it's a year-end rally. When we have strong markets like we've had this year, it generally does end well. We usually have a strong December, and we certainly are having it again this year.
Can I throw in something to you about what am I trying to say? What is the $18,000 of
Bitcoin,
yes.
I have more people asking me about Bitcoin, taxi drivers, friends who never play stocks. It reminds me so much of the dot-com rush in the 90s. But here's the one thing I will say is that, are we in 1994? Are we in 1999 with this? Because this could still be the early stages. It goes up almost every day. It's down a little bit today, but it has been the story of the year. And will it continue into next year? Certainly the people that are in fintech, like myself and some people that I know that I respect, most people are bullish on the space overall, meaning that if you were to be long all of the coins combined as a big portfolio, you would probably do well in a long-term scenario. But that doesn't mean we can't have a major correction, because Bitcoin has gone from 1,000 to 19,000 in 1 year. When assets do that, that definitely sets themselves up for a correction that, heck, it could get cut in half and it would still be up 900% for the year. So right now it's trading on air. It's trading on a lot of just No real news, just a lot of emotion. So I would just say to people who are listening in, I know a lot of you are very interested in Bitcoin. It's just don't trade it with money you can't afford to lose, because it really right now is gambling.
Now, Mike, this one's different. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. This one's
right.
Different.
I've heard that so many times. Well, the thing is, it could end differently, but I, at this point, you know, I'm somebody who trades on fundamentals, and there's not fundamentals that are driving Bitcoin right now. It is complete emotion. So it's a scary space, but there's certainly been a lot of very smart people who've made a ton of money in Bitcoin by getting in early. But now at this point, I don't consider it early anymore. I think people just need to be very skeptical and don't trade with money they can't afford to lose.
Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading, coming up, two big deals in the packaged food space.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We are looking at two big deals in the packaged food industry just announced, and we are joined by Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us today, Phil. Let's talk about Hershey first. And it's buying up a Chicago, there is a connection to Chicago, Skinny Pop.
It is, Chris, and this deal makes a lot of sense for Hershey. Hershey has been trying to buy something else for a while, ever since they had a new CEO that came in March, Michelle Buck. That's been really her focus. And this was Skinny Pop, the owner of the company, the brand of the company is called Amplify. They've got a few brands that are more towards the health profile than we've seen Hershey before. It's a smart move where really it aligns perfectly with their distribution. It's reported that they'll make about $200 million in efficiencies right off the bat. So I like this deal. It's a good, smart deal, and certainly one that Hershey can manage.
A Skinny Pop is low-calorie popcorn. Is there a lot of competition in this sector?
You know, there is. And ConAgra, also Chicago-based, you know, has bought up some healthier snacks and so on. But snacking continues to grow. We are a nation of snackers. We don't have 3 square meals a day. We're now eating 9 times a day. So I think that, you know, the snacking category is going to continue to go up. And again, you know, Hershey has not had a lot of healthy offerings. It really relied on sugar, sugar and fat, matter of fact. So this really puts them in a whole new place. So I think it's going to be a smart move for them.
Another deal, Campbell Soup buying Snyder's, the maker of pretzels, among other things. Are we seeing, you have Hershey, known for its chocolate and other candies, buying Skinny Pop, Campbell Soup buying pretzels. Are we seeing a diversification among these companies?
You know, we are Sysco, but I don't like this deal. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. And in fact, Campbell's has been buying things for a couple of years, and it really hasn't worked very well. Bolthouse Farm, Garden Fresh Gourmet, was really their venue into the fresh space. Campbell's has always wanted to be in fresh, going back for probably 30 years. But the deal hasn't worked really well in both cases with Bolthouse and Garden Fresh. I don't think that this diversification makes a lot of sense for Campbell's. You know, it's a different kind of distribution. It is not aligned with their product categories. To me, this deal is just, you know, where they want to, you know, take some pressure off the canned soup business and be able to diversify. But I don't see a lot of consolidation here, and I don't see a lot of synergy between these two companies.
Phil Lempert, thanks for joining us. Always appreciate your insight. Phil is founder of SupermarketGuru.com. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Up next, our Monday Stock Picker.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas, Pat Morrow, who is Investment Advisor, Inc. Pat Morrow, Investment Advisor, Inc. in Oak Brook. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Pat.
Thanks, Chris.
What's your first pick today?
General Electric Company, a big story this year because it went down significantly with the previous management doing about everything wrong, Jeffrey Immelt. New management, the restructured announcement in September, putting a lot of assets for sale. But what I'm interested in, the timing of this now, it's a classic dog of the Dow. I really think we're going to see a rebound in the shares early, starting next month and into the first quarter, perhaps 20 to 30%.
It's at about $18 right now.
Yes, and so I think it could go to $22 sometime next year. There's been epic tax loss selling. It's hard to find, in our typical 20-stock portfolio, in all our accounts, we only see one or two stocks that are actually down in 2017. So, and GE is not one of our stocks from the past, but we think this is a good one for next year.
All right. General Electric, your first pick. What's your second pick?
Verizon Communications, which is one of the giants, obviously, along with AT&T and Comcast. Morgan Stanley has just said that they're going to be a major beneficiary of the tax reform that probably will be passed this week. They're a high taxpayer, close to the 35%. Not too many companies actually pay 35, but the companies like that, like CME Group in Chicago and Verizon, they dropped their tax rate to 21. That's a huge increase for the company's profits. It goes right to the bottom line, obviously. They're also big, and I noticed just reading about, and you know, actually knowing people have done this, they buy the iWatch, and for $10 you connect to it, and Verizon thinks that there's a big future in this, like monitoring your medical conditions, et cetera, through these wearable appliances. So that's another growth area. The other area that's very controversial is net neutrality, which they can't get hurt by it. Obviously, there's this, supposedly the big winners from this FCC vote to abandon net neutrality.
Verizon is up one today at 53, and nice to have you on. You were our very first guest on Stock Picker when the WBBM noon business hour took off here, and that was 17 years ago. So
yeah, I feel very honored about that. Thank you very much.
Well, nice to have you back, and we will continue. Pat Morrow is president of Patrick Morrow Investment Advisors in Oak Brook. You will find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour, at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the record-breaking run continues. The Dow is up 134 points, or 0.5%, 24,786. NASDAQ up 59 points. The NASDAQ composite earlier in the session touched 7,000. Right now it's at 69.95. And the S&P gaining 16 points at 26.91, fresh records across the board. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 1%. So investors still think there's more to be gained for companies when the expected tax cuts come to bear. We're expecting for a measure to reach the president's desk before Christmas Day. For the first time, as I mentioned, the NASDAQ touches that key level. The S&P 500 may reach 2,700 as well. The composite was at 5,383 at the end of last year. The 1,000-point spread puts the NASDAQ at a 28% gain for the year. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.